Welcome to the Red Zone.
The Red Zone. Red Zone.
With Soren Petro. An exclusive presentation of KCChiefs.com. For the next 60 minutes, this is your in-depth, inside look at the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, here's your host, Soren Petro.
Good afternoon and welcome. You're in the Red Zone here at KCChiefs.com. Soren Petro with you on a Wednesday, the Wednesday before training camp gets going. Guys reporting to the stadium tomorrow. Physicals and out on the practice field on Friday. Training camp is about ready to get going. This is our final Red Zone before we are in season, at least in preseason. We won't be in regular season, but football will be upon us, and the Kansas City Chiefs will be taking to the field very shortly in an exciting time. If you're a football fan, a chance to see some of the new shiny objects get out on the field, the new acquisitions, free agents, draft picks, the new coaching staff, see Romeo Crennel and Charlie Weiss, Emmett Thomas out on the practice field and seeing them work. It will be an exciting time and very exciting because camp is in St. Joe, Missouri, and going to be a lot closer, and hopefully it means, and I think it's inevitable, many more fans will be making their way to Chiefs training camp. What do we want to see, though, at training camp? What work needs to be done? And I'll zero in on three things. First is kind of the head of the shiny object department, and that would be Eric Berry. I want to see him in camp, want to see him get signed, and want to see what kind of a difference he can make as the number 5 overall pick. You expect him to be an instant starter and very soon an impact football player for this team. So certainly you want to see Eric Berry, first of all, in uniform, signed, sealed, and delivered. But then you want to see him out on the field and making plays. So I think there's no doubt number 29 out on the field in uniform, just getting there, going through stretches, will be the first sign that the deal is done, the agreement is in place, and you know he's working on becoming a better football player. Then secondly, what can he do? What kind of impact does he make on the field for the Kansas City Chiefs? I think that's the first. I'll put that on the fun shelf. Go set that on the shelf as the bright, shiny object that we all definitely want to see. As many, many Chiefs fans, I remember back to the draft day party, the excitement that was there when the Chiefs made him their number 1 overall pick. A lot of fans very excited about the fact that he would be a member of the Chiefs. So we'll see. Get a chance to see what he can do for the football team up in St. Joe. Hopefully that signing coming very, very soon. And then two aspects of the football team that I think are going to be very important. I thought the offensive line showed great progress. I know some people have mentioned the line, but I think they did a very good job of addressing the offensive line. Number one, the progress it made once they got some continuity down the stretch last year, and then the additions that have already been made, which we've talked about a lot this offseason, Ryan Lilja, Casey Wiegman, John Asamoah, you know, the most notable additions for this offensive line. I think they did a good job of adding depth to the offensive line, an offensive line that really exploded in the run game once Jamaal Charles was given the football and was the lead dog in that backfield, and really cut down their sacks in the final 6 games of the year. So that's not really one of my concerns. I expect steady improvement there on a unit that played good football at the end of the year. But the other side of the line of scrimmage, the front 7. Not a lot of additions. Sean Smith in free agency as a guy to work in at nose tackle along with Ron Edwards, really the only major addition, the only quote-unquote shiny addition, you know, a legitimate free agent known commodity in the NFL acquisition, as they did not address that in the draft. Now, look, I'm going to state it again. I think there are a lot of people that say, well, the front 7 is going to be the same. Well, there's a chance that there's going to be some personnel decisions, whether that's an Alex McGee or a Wallace Gilberry pushing Glenn Dorsey and or Tyson Jackson at the defensive end spot, Sean Smith pushing Ron Edwards at the nose tackle spot, the middle linebackers, Javon Belcher and Derek Johnson pushing Corey Mays and DeMario Williams at those two spots, whether it's Andy Studebaker pushing Tamba Halee or Mike Vrabel. There are guys that can push their way into that starting lineup, guys that had production last year. Wallace Gilberry is a young player. Tyson Jackson's a young player. Glenn Dorsey is a young football player. Andy Studebaker is a young football player. Anybody that is young figures to get better. And I believe it's between year 1 and year 2 that players make their biggest leap. I really want to see Tyson Jackson show something different. Anthony Pleasant takes over as the D-line coach. Romeo Crennel is the defensive coordinator. It's a new, fresh start for Tyson Jackson with his new coaching staff. He now knows what to expect. He's got a full training camp. I've talked to a lot of guys. They say the draft process really does take a lot of wind out of your sails. All the working out you do, working out specifically for combine activities and not football activities, can leave you gassed once you come to training camp, or maybe in the wrong kind of shape, more in track and field shape than football shape. Now a year to focus fully on football, to understand, know what's coming at him NFL-wise. I think Tyson Jackson has a chance to really take a step forward. Glenn Dorsey, another year at the defensive end, or 1 year at the defensive end under his belt, has a chance to take a step forward, knowing what to expect at that position. Young players, knowing what the NFL is about, starting to understand their role, now can focus on being technically sound and assignment sound. I think the potential is there for the front seven to get better. It has to get better. It absolutely has to get better. There is good depth. If you listen to all the names I rambled off there, they probably go too deep across the board and throw in Cameron Sheffield in that mix as well, the fifth-round pick that they took out of Troy. It's another guy to factor in that outside linebacker spot. They are too deep across the board. That means there's competition. But people have to emerge as playmakers. Guys have to take a step forward because they've got to get better in the front seven. And I think it's clear. The Chiefs evaluated, like every team. Perhaps there just wasn't a move they could have made in free agency. There wasn't somebody that made sense, both cap and cash, to borrow a phrase from previous years at Arrowhead. But they obviously felt like the change needed to be made at the coordinator spot and the D-line coach. They felt like there was talent there. To me, I read that as, hey, there's talent there. We're not getting the maximum production out of it. We're going to make a change in the guys that are coaching them. They've got to get better. There are new coaches that are going to try to get them better. That's going to be huge. I want to see the front seven, particularly the D-line, but the front seven as a whole, include the linebackers in that, get better. That's one of the single biggest things. And then number two, I want to see it. I'm expecting to see it, and that's the improvement of Matt Castle. We've talked about it a lot, as you have to talk about the quarterback of your football team a lot. It's just too damn important, to quote Vince Lombardi, the quarterback position in the ultimate team game. He's got to take a step forward. I think a year now in his new town, with his new coach, with his new teammates, a chance to get settled in, now a complete offseason training camp, OTAs, everything under his belt with his current offensive coordinator and head coach, as opposed to changing things right before. I think Matt Castle has a chance to show what he showed in New England, and that was 3,500 plus yards, 21 touchdowns, and 11 interceptions. He needs to have that kind of year for this team to go forward. I want to see Matt Castle command the huddle. I want to see Matt Castle make good decisions, eliminate mistakes, get rid of the football, not take as many sacks, and I think that will be giant up in training camp. Want to see Eric Berry like everybody else, but the two main football things I want to see, improvement out of the front seven, and then desperately to see more out of the quarterback. We'll take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk to Mike Kelly, the play-by-play voice of the Kansas City Chiefs. Later on, we'll talk to Chiefs Hall of Fame linebacker Willie Lanier. He's going to join us a little bit later on. Mike Kelly next, Willie Lanier a little bit later on. Your emails as well. It's the Red Zone.
The Red Zone with Soren Petro will be right back here on KCChiefs.com.
Every Sunday, a city of more than 2 million unites. A community of fans thousands strong anticipates. A team of 53 players charges the field.
It's a sweep left to the fullback. And a great block springs him to the outside. He's up the left sideline.
And one grocery store is proud to support them all.
20. He's going to outrace everyone to the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City!
Hy-Vee, an official sponsor of the Kansas City Chiefs. A Kansas City Chiefs fan, they'll tailgate just about anywhere. And they live to hear the three most important words ever.
Tailgate Kansas City!
With Hy-Vee's weekly tailgate specials, you'll find everything you need for your next Chiefs tailgate or Chiefs party. Stop into Hy-Vee and stock up with new tailgate specials every week.
Hy-Vee, an official sponsor of the Kansas City Chiefs.
It is time for a new era with new vision and new hope. This is the 2010 Kansas City Chiefs, a team on the rise with the opening of the new and improved Arrowhead Stadium. It's got a new body, but still has the same soul. A team with electrifying young talent.
Charles on his feet, left Outside angling, cutback, 15, 10, 5, touchdown, Jamal Charles.
A team focused, disciplined, and determined under the direction of head coach Todd Haley.
Just do your job, and we'll win this game. And the Chiefs put the hammer down.
Now is the perfect time to be part of the energy and excitement of one of the best atmospheres in the NFL.
And this kick is good! Ryan Suckup wins the game in overtime.
The party starts this August. Lock down your season tickets now by going to kcchiefs.com. Experience the new Arrowhead Stadium. New body, same soul. Now, let's get back into the Red Zone with Soren Petro, exclusively on kcchiefs.com.
Welcome back here in the Red Zone here at kcchiefs.com. Soren Petro with you on a Wednesday. That is when we are live. Can see your questions, comments, thoughts, opinions there in the chat room. Going to talk right now with the brand new play-by-play voice of the Chiefs preseason football. He is a veteran broadcaster, of course, from the Missouri Tigers, and now handling Chiefs duties. Mike Kelly is with us. Mike, how are you, sir?
Soren, I'm doing great. How are you today?
Very good. I know you've got a full plate of broadcasting to do throughout the course of the football and basketball season. So I would think that there's a combination right now of excitement as you. It's kind of like the roller coaster at the top of the hill. A little bit of apprehension about all the work that lies ahead, all the games that lie ahead, but also the excitement of the thrill that's about to come. Is that accurate as to how you're looking at things right now?
Yeah, I think you have portrayed things quite accurately. In fact, to give you a feel of where I am normally in this point in time is, I'm trying to cling usually to as much of summer as remains. When I know that all I have coming up is football season, then into basketball season. But I got to tell you, with the addition of the responsibilities of doing the Chiefs preseason TV games on KCTV 5 and around the Midwest, that combined with getting a chance to work with just a terrific individual in Trent Green, I am just extremely excited about the start of camp and getting things rolling. So I'm really, really excited about getting to St. Joe later this week.
I think one of the things a lot of people would be interested in knowing, and you've been doing this for a lot of years, is how do you go about getting ready? I mean, the Chiefs and Falcons are going to play on August 13th. That's going to be your first game. I think people kind of have a sense. I think your job, probably even more than my job, I think we all, probably all of our jobs are taken for granted a little bit. Nobody really understands everything that goes into it. But I think the play-by-play man's job, maybe more than anyone in and around sports, how much time and effort go into being prepared for the game? I think people figure you just show up and start talking, and it doesn't work like that. There are hours and hours of preparation. How will you get ready? I mean, what all as far as your boards and memorization do you go about doing getting ready for Chiefs-Falcons, which, by the way, is not two 53-man rosters. It's two 80-man rosters. There's a lot of names and numbers to learn.
Yeah, thanks for the reminder. in a perfect world, Soren, I'd have all my boards done already, and I'd be focusing on numbers. But as you know, with the start of training camp coming up for both the Chiefs and certainly the Falcons and the rest of the teams in the NFL, you don't have the luxury of predicting what that lineup is going to look like when those two teams play in Atlanta here in just a couple of weeks. I have already started in terms of, the two deep, if you will, or your boards, which is a device that play-by-play people use to have usually the two deep for each team in front of you with all the possibilities of the different packages, who's going to be on the field at what time. And starting to review numbers, I've got the Chiefs board, pretty much with the first team done. And then, as camp evolves and we start watching things unfold coming up in the coming days in St. Joe's, certainly will be updated along the way. In terms of the Falcons, I'll start working on that here probably within the next few days. But, it's one of those things that you can't just show up and try to do the game. Although I did do that one time. It was the NFC Championship game in December of 1999 when I got the call from CBS Radio at, I believe it was 8:15 in the morning for a 3 o'clock kick, that I'd be replacing Howard David doing the play-by-play between the Rams and Tampa Bay. And that was a little bit of an adventure and trying to you know, gather as much information as both those teams on the fly as I could. But, you know, normally, you know, it usually takes me, you know, a good 2 to 3 hours per team just trying to get all the information, put it into the computer program that I use, and then you're constantly just trying to go through numbers. And one of the beauties about being at camp is you can sit there and you see the number and you see the player and you pick up, you know, different variations in the things that they do, different plays that they'll run, et cetera. And so that helps. You don't have that luxury, though. Obviously, with the road team, you just have to try to do as much research as you possibly can. Normally, during the football season, you know, on the college level, I'll try to get as many tapes as I possibly can from the next opponent and be able to review some of those during the course of the week. But, you know, you're absolutely right. It's something that takes, you know, a few hours to put into it, particularly if you want to try and do it the right way. And it's just a matter of constantly updating your notes and trying to stay on top of things. And literally in the preseason, as you know, things change so much from week to week that, you know, I would fully expect that on game day we'll probably find out about, you know, certain players that will be in the lineup, some certain players that won't be, you know, active for that particular game, and you'll just have to adjust accordingly.
Do you actually memorize all the numbers? Like, do you go through like a, you know, a junior high kid, you know, memorizing his words for a spelling bee? Or,
you know,
or
with Missouri, I'm pretty good since
sure.
I do that team on a regular basis that I know most of the numbers off the top of my head. And that really allows you during the course of the game just to watch the game unfold and not refer too often, you know, to your flip charts when it comes to the home team, if you will. So you're constantly focusing on the road team. But I try to memorize as many of the numbers as I possibly can. To me, that just makes it easier and allows for a better flow, if you will, during the course of the game. A little different, though. You know, doing TV as opposed to radio, TV, you've got the luxury of the pictures in front of you, and you don't have to be as descriptive because the pictures obviously paint the action in terms of what's taking place. And so, you know, maybe that's a little bit of a comforted feeling as you move forward. But, yeah, I certainly try to memorize as many of the numbers as I can moving forward.
Do you have to consciously gear down? I mean, do you make a mental note, constantly throughout the broadcast that it's TV and not radio? That you know, as you said, I don't have to paint the entire picture. I just have to supplement what's on the TV.
Well, you know, that's a great question, and yeah, a lot of times, you know, you go through, you know, particularly the communication between you and the truck. You know, I think certainly, you know, they're giving feedback and offering, you know, different insight as the broadcast moves forward. But, you know, that's something that I think that everyone does that makes the transition from radio to TV, you know, is that you try to make sure that you're pulling back a little bit and not over-talking. And, you know, when you've got someone as talented as Trent that you're working with, you know, I equate it to working with Matt Millen. And with Matt, you just get out of his way. You know, you call the action, and then you stand by the wayside and allow him to offer his great insight and expertise. And that's going to be the same thing with Trent. I mean, Trent is an obvious natural when it comes to his ability as a broadcaster and as a former player to convey his thoughts on what's taking place during the course of the game.
Is it harder to, you know, I mean, you certainly get in a rhythm or a flow with your normal color partners that you have at Mizzou. Is it harder, or is it actually easier when you work with somebody for the first time? Because, you know, I would think that maybe you can get too comfortable. I mean, I've heard people talk about Pat Summerall at one point before he got with John Madden, that he was almost too comfortable with his partner, and it became too much about just them, you know, them being buddies and kind of hanging out, whereas when he got partnered up with John Madden, that really he took off. Mm-hmm. And it was, you know, the uneasiness or the lack of knowing really brought out the best in both. It really revitalized Pat Summerall, and John Madden just kind of exploded because Summerall was really, you know, I don't want to say at his best, but just was more having to focus in and work as opposed to how comfortable he'd become with Tom Berkshire.
Yeah, you know, I think it comes down to the individual and who you're working with. You know, the first color analyst, and people probably don't remember this, but the first color analyst that I had with Missouri was Joe Buck. I mean, imagine that. He and I doing Mizzou basketball together back in the early 90s. And then, you know, I had a chance, obviously, to work with guys like John Sundvold and Jim Kennedy and now Gary Link. And John Cadillac's been with me, for all but I think two seasons of doing Mizzou football. Kellen Winslow did those first two seasons. I think it comes down to the individual and really the relationship that you develop with that individual when you're working with them. And, you know, the one thing that I think that has happened already in just the short amount of time that Trent and I have had an opportunity to be around each other is I think that we've got certainly a mutual respect for one another, but I think we've also developed a relationship that we can listen to each other and, you know, certainly be able to play off of one another during the course of the game. And so, you know, at the end of the day, you know, what you're doing on the air, you know, you're describing things, but you're also having conversations for those that are watching or listening. And the higher level of comfort that you have between the two of you, same is true with, you know, with your daily show on WHB, the more comfortable you are with those surrounding you, the better it comes off. And so that, to me, that's the key, is the relationship.
We're talking to Mike Kelly. He'll be handling the play-by-play duties on the Chiefs television network for the Chiefs preseason, which, as I said, gets started with the game with the Atlanta Falcons on the 13th, Friday, August 13th. We'll then continue on at Tampa, home for Philly, and then the Packers wrapping up the preseason on Thursday, September 2nd. You're looking forward to getting up to St. Joe, Missouri, and experiencing what is a new beginning for training camp in Chiefs history?
I absolutely am excited about it. In fact, as we're speaking, I'm at home today, and in my office at the house, I've got a diagram that was given to me earlier this week, or actually, I guess last week when Trent and I had a chance to meet with some of the folks from Metro and from KCTV and with Pete Morris and with Mark Donovan from the Chiefs, and just the layout of how things look up there and how it's going to flow for the fans. I mean, this might be one of the most fan-friendly training camps that people will have a chance to encounter, just because of the proximity between, you know, not only the parking and other facilities, but just how close fans are going to have an opportunity to get to the players while they're on the field. I'm really excited about it. And you can sense it, you know, Seren, when you're around the Chiefs' offices and certainly during OTAs, I mean, there was a sense of excitement in the building. And you certainly feel that when you walk in. And so, you know, me being the newcomer, if you will, I'm certainly excited and ecstatic to be a part of it and really have a chance to take in exactly, you know, how Todd Haley and his staff approach camp and get a chance to watch it.
I know how much research you do in getting ready. I know you've already spent a lot of time breaking down the Chiefs. What are your expectations for this team this year? What do you think we're going to see?
Well, I certainly think it's a team that's going to show a lot of improvement from a year ago. You know, I've listened to you over the course of the last few months, and I agree with you. I've heard you say this a few times, that, you know, the schedule sets up quite well with this team, and there's an opportunity perhaps to win maybe as many as 10 games. I think one thing, because of the level of excitement, maybe we need to temper it just a little bit and understand that it's certainly a 16-chapter season, and things unfold throughout the course of that season. But, you know, I just think that there's going to be more of a comfort level among everyone involved, you know, with the coaches and certainly with the players, that this team, I think, will show marked improvement from a year ago.
Yeah, and that's, I think, what everybody wants. Although, you know, I really do think that they can knock on the door this year on the playoffs. I think the division has come back to them as well. The Chargers are no doubt the favorite. They deserve that. They've earned that over the last 4 years. But they've taken a lot of personnel hits, and the system is designed. I know we're in an uncapped year this year, but we've been playing in cap seasons up till now, and it's worn down that Charger roster. It's not the same as it was three or 4 years ago. And that, to me, is exciting as well, because, you know, the chances for the playoffs, I think, are wide open for anybody in this division.
No, I agree. I agree completely, and particularly this time of the year. That's what makes this time of the year so great, though, isn't it? Because of the level of excitement that not only, you know, I think players have getting ready to move into a new season, but those of us that cover teams and those that watch teams, that's the neat part about the preseason when camp unfolds, is because you get a chance to watch the building of the team continue, moving in through the exhibition games and then into the regular season. And you're quite right. I mean, this division is wide open And if this team can do certain things along the way, then obviously, you know, aside from staying healthy, but, you know, protect the quarterback, hopefully be able to establish the run game a little bit and have some receivers that make some plays. I think the defense is going to be a unit that that is going to be certainly fun to watch as the season progresses.
Yeah, there's a lot of good young talent, and I think that's what makes it exciting as well. As you know, you add in Eric Berry and Kendrick Lewis and you know, Javier Arenas to Brandon Flowers and Brandon Carr. You've got a great young secondary. You know, I think that's obviously a very exciting part of this football team. But you know, you and I both know what sells tickets: offense.
No question.
And that's what I think really has people excited. And I think Matt Cassel's got a chance. I had a chance to talk to him the other day on my radio show, and you know, number one, he's a great guy to talk to, and I think that's one of the things that, you know, people should know. I don't know that, you know, he's really been exposed. And I think it's probably smart on the Chiefs' part to not overexpose him when you're a young guy and a new quarterback to come in and, you know, make a guy of the face of the franchise right away. But he's got such a great, engaging personality. He's a lot of fun, and, you know, this is a guy that threw for 3,500-plus yards, 21 touchdowns, and 11 interceptions when he was comfortable with his surroundings
right.
and had a good football team around him. I think there's good offensive personnel around Matt Cassel, and I think now year two with his new head coach, year two in his new surroundings, I think we got a chance to see those type of New England Patriot Matt Cassel numbers get posted this year, and that coupled with the firepower of Jamaal Charles and Thomas Jones in the backfield mm-hmm. should make for an offense that's pretty powerful.
Well, yeah, and particularly the offensive line up front. You know, I love the addition of Lil Joe. I think that makes a lot of sense, you know, bringing a guy like that back that obviously is well-known to Chiefs fans. Bringing in a guy like Thomas Jones, you know, a veteran, you know, at 31 years of age who still has a lot of good football in front of him. Maybe that pressures puts a little bit of pressure, you know, onto Jamaal Charles, and he rebounds a little bit this year. But as you know, it starts up front, obviously with the line, and you got to keep your quarterback clean, and that's something that didn't happen a year ago, and that's something that you look forward to, I think, is to see how that offensive line continues to develop throughout the course of the training camp. And obviously the Chiefs had a lot of confidence in the people that were up front, because there wasn't a lot that took place, you know, during the course of the offseason.
The Chiefs are fortunate to have Mike Kelly calling the play-by-play on their preseason football games. You'll see it on the Chiefs Television Network, KCTV5 in Kansas City. And he'll be partnered up with Trent Green, as should be an outstanding broadcast team and a lot of fun this preseason. Mike, you know how it works. Before I let you go, I got to give you our final four. Four quickies.
Here we go.
You ready?
Yes, sir.
We'll start with this. What conference for Missouri in the year 2020?
No one knows at this point in time. You know, all it's going to do is it's going to take one. I have said to people since this Big 12 survival, if you will, that, you know, it would be naive to think that this is the end of the game. You know, as soon as somebody decides they're going to expand, obviously others will follow.
All right, football or basketball, which do you prefer to make the call?
I'm just blessed to be a part of both of them, and I say that very sincerely. You know, to be in a position that I am, you know, having done college basketball now for 20 years and approaching 20 years with college football, and now to get the opportunity to work with an NFL franchise that has the historical value of the Kansas City Chiefs, I'm just a blessed man. So I would say just the opportunity to be in the to be in the play-by-play position for both is extremely gratifying and certainly exciting.
When I get asked what my favorite sport is, a lot of times I'll tell people whatever's about to start. Because, you know, because you kind of...
You transition from one to the other.
Yeah, and in our line of work, you know, you have to really just almost overindulge yourself in the sport, that the next one coming around, there's kind of like a hunger for it, because you haven't just been grinding through all the numbers and all the names and everything that's going into it. So the one that's about to start, like right now, I couldn't be more excited about football and reading football
right.
books and magazines, and it's an exciting time, I think, right now for football. So I know where you're coming from. All right,
yeah.
Let's go with this one. Will you be using Take It to the House as part of your broadcast
with
the Chiefs?
Take It to the House will probably take a back seat during the course of the Chiefs broadcast. I think that lends itself more to radio, actually, more of the signature call.
Right. Okay. Interesting. And finally, your prediction on the Chiefs' record this year.
I'm like you. I think this football team is going to put up some numbers offensively. Certainly, I think the defense is going to continue to improve. You know, if you can keep the quarterback clean and establish the run game and allow him to, to make some plays back there. I think this is a team that can win anywhere between 8 and 10 games.
Yeah, and I think that's realistic to expect. And I think that's what this team should expect. And quite frankly, I think it's what they do. And I think that's why Chiefs fans should be excited, because I know that they're not going into the season going, well, if we can just get to 6 wins.
Yeah, there's a level of excitement. As I said earlier, maybe that excitement needs to be tempered just a bit. But hey, I look at it from the other standpoint. Be excited. It's your football team, you know?
Why not?
Be as excited as you possibly can about what the future holds.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Mike, you might be able to hear that they're mowing the practice field right behind us as we're here at Arrowhead. So I think they're getting the field ready. So it won't be long, and you'll be having the call for the Chiefs. We look forward to it. Thanks for spending some time with us, and we'll talk to you again down the road.
See you on Friday. Take care.
The Red Zone with Soren Petro will be right back here on KCChiefs.com.
Welcome to Chiefs Country, where fans like you wear their passion for their team like war paint. It's for you, Chiefs fans, that we created Chiefs Checking, with the official Chiefs debit card and discounts on Chiefs gear all year long.
Visit Metcalf Bank or ChiefsChecking.com, and for a limited time, sign up and score a Chiefs game day cooler.
Chiefs Checking, because you're not just a fan on Sunday.
Only at Metcalf Bank. Strong roots, endless possibilities. Member Central Bank Company, member FDIC. See bank for details.
Hey, Chiefs fans, I'm Josh Looney of KCChiefs.com.
And I am the Internet. I usually don't endorse websites, but KCChiefs.com is legit.
I know. At KCChiefs.com, you can check out my daily blog, exclusive video content, see what's going on with the team. You can also interact with other fans in Chiefs 365, and much more.
I'm so excited. I can barely contain myself.
You want the Chiefs? Go to the Chiefs at KCChiefs.com.
Are you looking for that perfect gift? Maybe it's a birthday, a holiday, or just looking for something special for that extra special Chiefs fan in your life? Well, we have it. The 2010 Chiefs Cheerleader Swimsuit Calendar is now available at kcchiefs.com. This 16-month calendar features the entire Chiefs cheerleader squad in swimsuits shot in red-hot Jamaica. Get your hands on the 16-month 2010 Chiefs Cheerleader Swimsuit Calendar online at the Chiefs Pro Shop at kcchiefs.com.
It is time for a new era with new vision and new hope. This is the 2010 Kansas City Chiefs, a team on the rise with the opening of the new and improved Arrowhead Stadium. It's got a new body, but still has the same soul. A team with electrifying young talent.
Charles on his feet, left side angling, cutback, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Jamal Charles!
A team focused, disciplined, and determined under the direction of head coach Todd Haley.
Just do your job, and we'll win this game! And the Chiefs put the hammer down!
Now is the perfect time to be part of the energy and excitement of one of the best atmospheres in the NFL.
And this kick is good! Ryan Succop wins the game in overtime!
The party starts this August. Lock down your season tickets now by going to KCChiefs.com. Experience the new Arrowhead Stadium. New body, same soul. Now, let's get back into the Red Zone with Soren Petro, exclusively on KCChiefs.com.
All right, welcome back. You're in the Red Zone here at KCChiefs.com. Soren Petro with you. Our thanks to Mike Kelly, the Chiefs preseason play-by-play voice. You'll catch him on KCTV5 here locally in Kansas City on the Chiefs television network around the Chiefs kingdom. Time now for some emails. You can email us, redzone@kcchiefs.org. That is redzone@kcchiefs.org. And I got this one from Steve. Soren, what is the biggest advantage to having training camp in St. Joe, Missouri? Steve, a couple of things. Number one, I think it's more of a – I think it's better business-wise. Number one, I think the fans have a chance to go up and connect with the football team. And so I think the more time the fans can spend up close and personal, I invite everybody to come up there. You get close to the team. You get a chance to see it practice. You get a real in-depth look at the football team. I think that is going to draw people in, and I think it will help in ticket sales. I think it'll help in merchandise sales. I think fans will feel closer to the team. It comes back home. It certainly helps out in the St. Joe area and all the areas an hour or so north as people will be able to travel down that way. So I think it helps the Chiefs Kingdom. I think business-wise, it's a great move. I think football-wise, the single biggest thing is, you know, these are men. I know everybody worries about distractions, and there are some players that I'm sure can be distracted by having their friends and family close. But for the most part, these are men. Getting a chance to be closer to their family, I think, is going to be a good thing for their family to come up and visit them. I think will help to give them a bit of a breath of fresh air, for lack of anything else, during training camp. You know, it's football, football, football all the time. But they do have some time to sit down and take a break and take a breather. And a chance to see their family, I think, is going to be great for them. I think it helps the football team in that standpoint. And I think there is something to be said for working out in the heat. You got to be prepared for it. I think NFL athletes have learned you can't come to camp out of shape. After the tragic death of Corey Stringer several years ago, a number of years ago, I think guys are generally in shape and are going to be prepared for the heat. But I think it gives this team a chance to be in shape and ready to go, maybe get off to a better start in the month of September. But I think mostly it allows the fans to connect, and I think will help a lot business-wise for the Kansas City Chiefs. Again, you can email us, redzone@kcchiefs.org. That is redzone@kcchiefs.org. We'll take a break when we come back. Hall of Famer Willie Lanier, one of the greatest linebackers ever to play the game, joins us next here in the Red Zone.
The Red Zone with Soren Petro will be right back here on KCChiefs.com. It is time for a new era with new vision and new hope. This is the 2010 Kansas City Chiefs, a team on the rise with the opening of the new and improved Arrowhead Stadium. It's got a new body, but still has the same soul. A team with electrifying young talent.
Charles on his feet, left side angling, cutback, 15, 10, 5, touchdown, Jamal Charles.
A team focused, disciplined, and determined under the direction of head coach Todd Haley.
Just do your job, and we'll win this game. And the Chiefs put the hammer down.
Now is the perfect time to be part of the energy and excitement of one of the best atmospheres in the NFL.
And this kick is good! Ryan Suckup wins the game in overtime.
The party starts this August. Lock down your season tickets now by going to kcchiefs.com. Experience the new Arrowhead Stadium. New body, same soul.
Every Sunday, a city of more than 2 million unites. A community of fans thousands strong anticipates. A team of 53 players charges the field.
It's a sweep left of the fullback, and a great block springs him to the outside. He's up the left sideline.
And one grocery store is proud to support them all.
20. He's going to outrace everyone to the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City!
Hy-Vee, an official sponsor of the Kansas City Chiefs. A Kansas City Chiefs fan, they'll tailgate just about anywhere. And they live to hear the three most important words ever.
Tailgate Kansas City!
With Hy-Vee's weekly tailgate specials, you'll find everything you need for your next Chiefs tailgate or Chiefs party. Stop into Hy-Vee and stock up with new tailgate specials every week.
Hy-Vee, an official sponsor of the Kansas City Chiefs.
Now, let's get back into the Red Zone with Soren Petro, exclusively on KCChiefs.com.
Welcome back. You're in the Red Zone here at KCChiefs.com. Soren Petro with you on a Wednesday as we are talking Chiefs football. We're going to talk to one of the legendary, one of the greatest Chiefs, one of the greatest football players ever to play the game. Willie Lanier is with us. Willie, how are you, sir?
I'm doing wonderful. How are you?
Not too bad. Not too bad. Do you get an itch to get out there on the field when training camp time rolls around, or no? Has that gone away?
Well, you get an itch. I'm not sure whether to get out on the field or not, but you get an itch. In reality, it's something you've done so much of your life, and I think that when the first part is when it's hot and humid, and that's the time that you know you'd be starting a training camp somewhere, and then when it gets to September, when the crispness in the air changes and you feel the smell of grass, you know, it's all a part of the cycle of the fall and the summer season.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, your training camps would have been in Liberty and at Swope Park. Is that right?
In Liberty. I only trained in Liberty. I didn't train in Swope Park, so okay. I was only in Liberty, so that's where I was.
And so they will again feel the heat of a Missouri summer as they've been cooling their heels for about 19 years up in River Falls, Wisconsin. How important is it, do you think, to be in the elements, to feel the heat and get your body used to what you're going to be playing in?
Well, I think the reality is that you play in outdoor stadiums, and that first month of the season, September can still be pretty hot, so you have two or three games that heat can be a factor. So with that being the case, you really need to train and acclimate for the fact that you have to be able to play well into the fourth quarter, because the difficult challenge is to realize that if you have not played in the elements and trained in it, and you have a close ball game, it's very tough, and you're really being forced to maintain and maximize your skill into that fourth quarter where you might need to win it.
Right.
It is difficult when you already know mentally that you have not prepared for it, because then what you're going to do is to try to have some governance to control the fact that you know you have not trained in the element to be able to maintain high production into that fourth quarter. And that's where the challenge is.
How nice would it have been to have, been able to make football your year-round job? I mean, many guys back when you played had to have off-season jobs. It made training camp actually the time when guys got into shape. Now, for the most part, most of them, if they're smart, come into camp in shape, and they've had all year to work on their body.
Well, it's sort of interesting. It was a different model at that time, and it really wasn't, in my way, a lot of our ways, one that you had to have off-season jobs. What it did, it let you really maintain what you went to college for. And that you had athletics as part of it, but your academic side was the other. And you always used to have a separation between the season when you played and then you did your academic work. Things have changed over time, but that model now would not really fit me psychologically. I always liked the break. I always liked to be working on other things that you'd gone to school for, and then you engage and you prepare, and then you go into the season. So I was used to the separation that I thought was very important in always being fresh, then to re-energize and get prepared for that season. You get through it, and then you separate and come back again.
We're talking right now with Chiefs Hall of Fame linebacker Willie Lanier. Willie, headed into that championship year in 1969, was there a time you knew, was there a time in training camp that you looked around and said, we're a championship team, or did you not really feel that way until you had the game won against the Vikings in the Super Bowl?
Well, you didn't do it until, it wasn't against the Vikings in the Super Bowl. I think it was really against the Jets in New York, where we had the goal line stand in that game. We had to hold them from a touchdown. They ended up getting a field goal. Very close game. I think we won 13-6. It was 6-3 at that time. We were leading. If they scored a touchdown, they would have gone ahead. And you could really sense that if we don't hold them there, the game easily could have shifted. So it was really when we beat Oakland, that game and beating Oakland, which meant that you now have the opportunity to be in the Super Bowl, is when you really start feeling good about whatever the outcome was going to be with Minnesota, because you had been able to get there. And the greatest challenge is to just get to the game.
So you didn't look around at training camp and go, okay, this is the team and we're ready. There isn't some,
there's nothing magical. No, I think the thing that happened is that the year before in 68 we'd gone out to Oakland in the playoff and we were punished.
Right.
Is the way I would say it. And I think it was the taste of that defeat that caused you to plan with a little bit more resolve that if the 69 season people stayed healthy. And that's my view, coming off of the loss to Oakland, that playoff game, that you wanted more resolve to try not to have the same thing happen again the following year. But it was really nothing. A season is too long. Too many things happen. You think about the fact that you could have had that thought, but then when Dawson was injured in Cincinnati, you could have thought your whole season was about to go down the tube.
Yeah.
Because Lenny missed about 8 games that year with that knee injury, and we had to have a young quarterback who was Livingston to try to hold it steady. So there were things that happened that year that you could have had your thoughts about it, but there are always situations that can occur that will change the drama of what a season ends up being anyway.
What about the goal line stand against the Jets where you announced your team, at least this is what I've read, that they will not score, And you held them on a first and goal from the 1 yard line to take possession of the, held them to a field goal, which I think put the game at 6-6, if I'm not mistaken. And you guys would go down, your offense would go down and score, on its next possession. You go on to beat the Jets and move on in the playoffs. Is that, first of all, is that story true? Is that how you remember it?
Well, that story is true. Yes. It was one that we had a interference penalty and they had first and goal at the 1. And I think the only thing I was trying to implore the guys to think of was that there were no gifts. They had to earn that 1 yard. And I was able to initially be one of the fellows who disrupted the initial running play where they didn't gain any yardage or maybe lost a half a yard. And then we realized that we still have a chance to hold them. So that was a signature moment in the way that game was unfolding that I think everyone will recognize that if they score at that moment, it maybe completely changes the way the game was flowing, because the weather that day was such that there was not going to be a lot of scoring in the game. So the opportunity to get points were going to be few, and that's why it was so close as it was. So all of those kind of things are just wonderful historical points, but, you know, that's the way it unfolded.
Willie Lanier is with us here in the Red Zone. Willie, you played on such great defenses in the stack defense that Hank Stram had you guys in, but it still came down to players. I mean, a lot gets made of the formations. Now we talk a lot about the 3-4 instead of the 4-3 with the Chiefs making that switch last year, but it still comes down to players making plays. As a linebacker, and you had such a great linebacking core, Jim Lynch, yourself, Bobby Bell, just great players, but you also had great players up in front of you. How important is it, no matter what scheme you're in, no matter what defense, for the linebackers really to be able to excel, to have those guys on the D-line that really can disrupt the blocking and give you a chance to go make plays?
Well, as it is a team sport, and you put together the team, and that's it, the team that has the ability to play at any point in time, any particular set of circumstances, and you can play multiple defenses. See, the thing that I think happened with Kansas City, we had Culpin and Buchanan and Brown and Mays up front and Jim, Bobby, and myself at the front seven. Being able to play the stack was like a 3-4.
Mm-hmm.
We could use this shift to bring Curley onto the nose, and we would shift over Lynch and myself, and you could create a 3-4, shift back to a 4-3 without changing personnel. So that gave you the ability, and then from a coverage standpoint, we could play man and zone and double coverage, all types of things. Nobody left the field. You didn't have anyone going in and out. We played everything. So the point was that the skill level was such that you didn't have to do anything but utilize the talent that you had, create multiple defenses and problems for the offense, make adjustments in the secondary when you needed to, and really force the other team to have to play much better than they thought they could to try to beat you.
What did it mean to you to be the first black middle linebacker in the history of the NFL?
Well, obviously at the time, it seemed like a heck of a chore in terms of the reality of that moment. But it was one that I took a lot of pride in, coming from a historical black college, having the benefit that Kansas City allowed the opportunity to unfold, and having a veteran team that I was coming to, and having the great skill of a Lynch coming at the same time as we became close over time, and then being able to have the success in organization and Stram that made it work. Because the opportunity, it doesn't present itself. It doesn't have a chance to obviously unfold as it did, but then to not only play, but to play well enough that you could go all the way to Canton, Ohio. So that was the signature reality for me, that the opportunity I could not control. Once the opportunity was there, it was one of not only performing, but performing well enough to go all the way to Canton.
Do the players, when you talk to the players in the game today, do they know about that? Are they aware of the fact that you were the first?
Well, not really. Some do, some don't. And it's one that I think as they then go back and if it is Google or do whatever they do on the webs and then find out, wow, that was really significant. And I think the main point is that it's not as if though I'm 92 years of age, I'll say it like that. I'm 64 at this time, and it really was not that long ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the main thing that people really think back and go, wait a minute. That means that the AFL had been in existence for 7 years. So you really start doing the math, and it really was not that long.
No, it was not that long ago. Do you think we've made a lot of progress, though?
Well, the progress has been huge. I mean, Kansas City was so far ahead of the curve because as that Super Bowl game was played 40 years ago, they were defensive starters that were black. The team, if it was 45 people on the roster, almost half were minorities. So Kansas City was very far ahead of providing opportunities, allowing the skill to drive the decision, and then being able to be competitive in a way that you had a chance to win, and that's what it was all about.
One of your teammates, Emmett Thomas, is now on the current staff. He's been added as the defensive backs coach. How often do you get a chance to talk to Emmett Thomas?
Well, I would talk to Emmett on and off at different times. As it was, interestingly enough, I happened to have been in Atlanta on business the day he was hired. I was down there at a board meeting, went by to visit with Emmett, because we were just talking about some things he was sharing with me that earlier that day he had gotten the offer and had agreed to accept to go to Kansas City. So it was just kind of interesting that we all have a chance to know each other and really stay in touch as much as you can.
Yeah, and I there's been a big conversation, I mean, about how much, and I've talked to a number of the guys on the team right now, what it means to have one of the guys from your time, the greatest moment in Chiefs history, back on this team, and the fact that it's, you know, the other guys, Romeo Crennel and Charlie Weiss have won Super Bowls, you know, they've had success, but the fact that Emmett Thomas had success in Kansas City makes a difference. I mean, do you see where it would, that they see the guy who had the success, that connection to the championship years here in Kansas City?
Well, I think it makes a huge difference, and with Crennel and Charlie, obviously are solid coaches and backgrounds, but here you have a guy who played, and not only played well enough to be in Canton, Ohio, not only played well enough to be in Canton, Ohio, but is coaching the league for who knows how many years. So his resume is huge. So when he looks a guy in the eye, puts his hand on the shoulder, it's no question about what he says when he leans and whispers it to you. You got to pay every ounce of attention. And you look at the resume, I think it ended up with 15 interceptions, one of the higher totals for a corner in the history of the league. All that speaks well.
Did you ever consider going the coaching route?
Coaching at that time, and a lot of times when people look back, easy way is to say no. Business was always my first objective, but things weren't quite as open then as they are now in terms of an opportunity standpoint. So I had a different path that I already was locked into, and that's where I ended up staying.
And you went out as a stockbroker, if I'm not mistaken, is that correct?
Well, more in the investment business.
Investment.
In stocks and bonds and some private equity and ownership of businesses, and that's where I have spent most of my time. I've done things with the league on committees, having to be on a pro player foundation council. I'm on the board of the Hall of Fame and on committees with Tiger Blue and Goodell and some of the other guys. So I'm close to it from that side.
What do you think? I mean, being a guy that works in the investment world, what do you think about the amount of dollars that are in the NFL now? Not just the players, but the league itself, the ownership, the tremendous values of these teams. It is a huge, giant business now.
I think it's fascinating to really see a game that's played on a field 100 yards long, regulation 53-3 wide, 11 people, same number at high school, college, and pro, and it's able to create the interest. And if you look at Arrowhead and the dollars that have been put into it and a 10-game schedule, and you have that kind of interest across the country that's televised everywhere and that has its own network, the amount of a generation of data on a daily basis is gigantic. So it just shows the interest that people have in a sport, the quality of the sport, the joy they can have in it, and the integrity that the sport provides. So it was no way anyone could have projected it to do that, because technology has been a great factor in all of these different mediums in the ways you can watch and observe different parts of the game. So all of that has occurred at the time that we stopped playing. I stopped in 77. There was no cable TV. There was no Microsoft. There was no smartphone. There was no laptops. You can think about all of the technology that did not exist at that point in time, how all of that technology has helped enhance the way the game is viewed.
How about the way the game is played as far as the hitting, the physical nature of the game? You were considered one of the great hitters in the league when you played. Do you think it's, first of all, more physical than it was, and do you think it's getting excessively physical?
I don't really think it's more physical. I think, unfortunately, the way the game has changed with the The amount of money that sometimes that seem happens to be invested in the player is a contact sport. A risk of injury is something that's always constant. But if the players don't put the shoulder pass on more of the time and practice tackling technique where it's automatic in your mind once the game starts, at times it doesn't appear to me that the consistency of tackling skills has been where it needs to be on an ongoing basis. And in the same way that preseason games were meant for us to get ready to play, even though six was too many, most of us would play at least a half or sometimes three quarters in those games, because the same way you go back earlier and speaking about the heat and getting ready for a season, if you don't play three or four quarters of a game, and in September those first four games you have a hot day, you aren't prepared to play three or four quarters. And you have to do it somewhere. So many things of the game have shifted somewhat as the concern of injuries and risk and cost and all of that become a factor in it. We played and had very few guys injured. In the 69 season, I think we didn't have anybody miss any game defensively from being injured. And most of the guys played all five or six of those preseason games along with that.
Yeah, it is a testament. And when you watch guys hold out, oftentimes they end up being hurt. If they don't get that training camp in there and they come in right before, they oftentimes end up being hurt. Larry Johnson, just a couple of years ago when he had his holdout, ended up getting hurt that year. It does, you know, seem to go hand in hand with how it all plays out. Willie, how closely do you follow the Chiefs now? I mean, I know you live in Baltimore, right?
I'm in Virginia, but
Virginia, okay.
I have a place in Kansas City also, and I'm out there on business a lot and have been for a number of years. And I had a field box there for about 11 years, didn't have it last year, and probably will come back this year. So I have been doing business and things around Kansas City for a long time. So I have tended to follow them rather closely.
Yeah. Do you like what you see? Do you like where the direction the team's going?
Well, I think that it was another tough year last year, obviously first year for Todd getting in and trying to get his feet wet as a rookie head coach, which is you got to be a rookie at some point, and you get started and go to the next year. But being able to put together the staff that he now has with him, a number of other veteran guys who've been around in the sport and some who've played, and then have this first full draft, I would say, where you had more time to get a feel for the whole aspect of what you were trying to do, it gives you a little bit better foundation to put it together. Now, obviously, other teams are doing the same thing. So it's not as if what you're doing is so different than what they're doing, but it's given you more time to get comfortable with the reality of how you have to manage this thing. So I think from that standpoint, obviously, even when we played, you only knew when the season started and how well the guy played the next play. Because the whole idea of projections, all of that is wonderful, and on paper it looks good, but you only knew the next play, did the person do it or did they not do it. If they did it, you're in great shape. Get ready for the next one.
Right. We're talking to Chiefs Hall of Fame linebacker Willie Lanier here in the red zone. Willie, my final four quickies for you, and I'll start with this. If you don't mind me asking, what was the highest one-year salary you made during your career?
The highest one-year salary? Let's just say it was over 150.
150, okay, okay. Yeah. All right, but not quite the tens of millions that it's become today.
Yeah, I got a great chuckle out of that one. Yeah, right. So, okay. Yeah, guys make more some guys will make more in 1 year, you know, whatever, but that you made a full career. That's what it always was. That's not a big deal.
Okay, give me one of your teammates. You've got many teammates that are in the Hall of Fame. Give me one of your teammates that's not, that should be.
That's not, that should be? I would say maybe Curly Culp, Ed Buddy.
Yeah, Curly Culp and Ed Buddy. I know I've heard Ed Buddy's name a number of times as well. All right, when will the market turn?
Well, it's already started to do that. I think if you look at the last few weeks after it went under 10,000, down about 9,800, now it's back to about 10,500, and you get this European stress test out of the way from a banking standpoint, and the earnings season is going well after the second quarter with a lot of areas. And FedEx had a good earnings statement out the other day, just yesterday. So I think the economy is improving as we go into the second half of the year.
All right. Good to know. I listen to you. You know better than I, so I will listen to you. And finally, who's the toughest player ever to tackle for you?
I think the toughest ever was probably Larry Zonka.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good Syracuse guy there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You attended Syracuse?
I did go to Syracuse, yes.
I figured it must have been something along with that.
Yeah, I got to give some love to one of our Orange are talked about in high regards. We used to have a lot of great football players come out of there. We've been on a little bit of a cold streak here of late. But we had our moments there for a while.
Yeah, but you have Floyd Little going in.
Yep.
Next week.
Yep.
So I saw Floyd in Washington 2 weeks ago, and he's an Orange Syracuse guy, wore number 44 also. So
yep. Yep.
You should be happy about that.
Oh yeah, joining Jim Brown and Art Monk, and we've got a few of them in there. We're pretty proud of it. We're not Alabama, but we're proud of our tradition, no doubt, and we're certainly proud of you, Mr. Lanier. Thanks so much for spending some time with us. We really enjoy it, and hopefully we'll see you at the stadium soon.
Okay, good talking to you. Thank you.
The Red Zone with Soren Petro will be right back here on KCChiefs.com. It is time for a new era with new vision and new hope. This is the 2010 Kansas City Chiefs, a team on the rise with the opening of the new and improved Arrowhead Stadium. It's got a new body, but still has the same soul. A team with electrifying young talent.
Charles on his feet, left side angling, cutback, 15, 10, 5, touchdown, Jamal Charles.
A team focused, disciplined, and determined under the direction of head coach Todd Haley.
Just do your job, and we'll win this game. And the Chiefs put the hammer down.
Now is the perfect time to be part of the energy and excitement of one of the best atmospheres in the NFL.
And this kick is good. Ryan Succop wins the game in overtime.
The party starts this August. Lock down your season tickets now by going to KCChiefs.com. Experience the new Arrowhead Stadium. New body, same soul.
Hey, Chiefs fans, I'm Josh Looney of KCChiefs.com.
And I am the Internet. Great to be here, Josh.
We're here to tell you about all the new and exciting things going on at KCChiefs.com.
I usually don't endorse websites, but KCChiefs.com is legit.
I know. At KCChiefs.com, you can check out my daily blog, exclusive video content, see what's going on with the team, learn about the Chiefs cheerleaders, and much more.
Yeah, buddy.
That's not all. You can also interact with other fans in Chiefs 365. Chiefs 365 is the place for Chiefs fans to interact, give feedback, and be connected with everything Chiefs.
Fan feedback? That is awesome. But Josh, I really want to buy a jersey.
At KCChiefs.com, you can do that too. The Chiefs Pro Shop is the best place on the web. Buy all of your favorite Chiefs gear, gifts, and much more.
Whoa, system overload.
You want the Chiefs? Go to the Chiefs at KCChiefs.com.
Are you looking for that perfect gift? Maybe it's a birthday, a holiday, or just looking for something special for that extra special Chiefs fan in your life? Well, we have it. The 2010 Chiefs Cheerleader Swimsuit Calendar is now available at KCChiefs.com. This 16-month calendar features the entire Chiefs cheerleader squad in swimsuits shot in Red Hot Jamaica. Get your hands on the 16-month 2010 Chiefs Cheerleader Swimsuit Calendar online at the Chiefs Pro Shop at kcchiefs.com.
Now, let's get back into the Red Zone with Soren Petro, exclusively on kcchiefs.com.
All right, welcome back. Wrapping things up here in the Red Zone. Soren Petro with you. Final time before we get the preseason going. Coming up here, just in a couple of days. Remember, ticket sales, the single game ticket sales, went on today. Jackson County residents, you can buy your single game tickets. Season ticket holders, tomorrow, you can buy your single game tickets. And then everybody on Friday, Chiefs out on the practice field on Friday, single game tickets available for everybody on Friday. You can get those right here at the website, KCChiefs.com. I want to thank everybody here in the working on the Red Zone. Certainly our guest, Mike Kelly, the play-by-play voice of the Kansas City Chiefs and the legendary Chiefs linebacker, Willie Lanier, one of the great guys in football. Great to talk to him, and you can tell just how smart he is when he talks about the market turning around. Bright, bright guy. Wasn't just his toughness, his athleticism. He was a smart football player. Now he's a very accomplished, smart businessman as well. So I want to thank Mike Kelly. I want to thank Willie Lanier. And I want to thank Brad Young, Adam Pellegrino, and Curtis Siebel. This is Soren Petro saying thank you very much for joining us here in the Red Zone.
You've been listening to The Red Zone with Soren Petro. Join us again next week for more discussion of your Kansas City Chiefs. This has been an exclusive presentation of KCChiefs.com.